You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. Today is an annual rite of passage toward the LSU football season. On this Wednesday every year, the LSU head football coach speaks at the Baton Rouge Rotary Club. It is the last public availability for the LSU football coach before the start of fall camp. Of course, Ed Ogeron had the honors today, like he has each of his years as the head coach, like Les before him and Nick before him and Jerry DiNardo before him, and you get the point. And Ed Ogeron today was awesome. He was loose and funny and gregarious. This is the Ed Ogeron that whenever you think about what makes him such a dynamic recruiter, which I've told you all the time, that is Ed Ogeron's superpower. The Ed Ogeron today had that room eating out of the palm of his hand. It was a 180 from the Ed Ogeron we saw at SEC Football Media Days, where he doesn't seem real comfortable in that setting, but in this setting, he was wonderful. Ed Ogeron was cracking jokes early on in his statements.
I know the first question you can ask is, who's going to be a starting left tackle, right?
Oh, he had jokes. He told a great story about recruiting Austin Deculus. Listen to this.
So this was out when we could go out and recruit and go out and eat with the parents and stuff, and everybody wants to cook me gumbo. So I had about 5 or 6 home visits that day, so his home visit was 9 o'clock that night. Well, by that time, I'd eat about 14 bowls of gumbo. I said, like my Uncle Pish said, I wear a size 40 pants, but a 42 feels so good, I buy me a 44. So we get to Austin's home at night. It's about 9 o'clock, and I can't eat no more, right? And so there it is, and his mom goes, she was all excited, she cooked some chili. And she goes, Coach, you ready to eat? And she goes, I said, yes, ma'am. So we're eating the chili, and I said, oh, what kind of chili is this? She goes, oh, Coach, we got a surprise for you. Says, I said, what is it? She goes, it's buffalo meat. I said, oh, thank you. Have you ever eaten buffalo meat? No, thank you. I guess the first time for everything, but it was wonderful. I ate the bowl of chili. I survived, and we got Austin.
He was great. I'm telling you, man, Ogeron was at his absolute peak today. And you couldn't help but listen to him talk about position battles and the new coaches and all the energy and think, man, he is light. He is comfortable. He is confident. It's a great feeling going into camp, which seems like a very pivotal year. And all of that was very positive. And he wrapped up with questions. And so he's working the room and taking questions. And someone asked him about NIL. And Ed Ogeron said this.
I think it's good. I think it's good for our players. Okay. And I think that as long as it's handled in the right way, I do believe there's going to be some disappointment. I think that they can realize what taxes are. They'll realize that they're not going to get paid as much as they think they ought to get paid. I just don't want it to affect the locker room. And here's what I talked to our team about. I'm for it. But you know what? You came here to go to school, get an education, and you came here to win football games. And the most important thing that you can do is focus on school and football. If that can supplement you, fine. But if that becomes your sole purpose, you're heading in the wrong direction.
Very thoughtful, measured response. Absolutely love it. I thought it was perfect how he stated that. And then there was a follow-up from someone who asked a very specific question. Here's how the question and answer sounded.
Yes, hey, call Derek Panevsky. All right, Derek's here. Call him, and we want to do it. I'm not joking about it. I'm serious. And if many of you want to give our players money legally, do it. And we would like that done. Yes, sir. Other schools are doing it and bragging about it.
As many of you as want to give our players money legally, do it. Other schools are doing it and bragging about it. You see, I heard that and I threw my hands in the air and went, amen.
Alleluia. Thank you. We have had church. We can all go home. I tweeted out that comment, and it started to get a lot of buzz. And you start to see the bevy of responses from people around college football. This is college football. This is why NIL is going to ruin college football. Excuse me. What? If you are sitting here today lamenting what college football has become, let me remind you of something. This isn't what college football has become. This is what college football has always been. Not just college football, all of intercollegiate athletics. Someone finally just walked in the room and turned on the light switch. Do I need to remind you about Cam Newton's dad soliciting $250,000 for his son's commitment? Is that somehow different than this? Do I need to remind you about Nevin Shapiro at Miami? Do I need to remind you about Reggie Bush? His family got a house and transportation and 10 grand a month while he was playing football at USC. Do I need to remind you about Steve Spurrier calling Florida State Free Shoes University? Or how about the Pony Express? They did a whole damn ESPN 30 for 30 on that. It ain't something new in college football. It's how it's always been. It's now just something we're talking about, which I think is a great thing. And the bottom line is, pick your jaw up off the ground. And stop pretending to be outraged by all of this, because the bottom line is, right now, a college athlete making a little scratch on the side, that ain't affecting your life one damn bit. Not one iota. And I think that's the first time in the history of the show I've used the word iota on air, but I'll do it again. Not one iota. You know who it might actually impact? The kid that's going to make a few bucks. You saw Ali Gay's tweet today. Excited to have signed my first NIL endorsement deal. Proud and humbled through this journey. Big thanks at Air Slate and at Wasserman. Ali Gay's got 3,300 followers on Twitter. That's a company that's betting on the come with him. Has a great year. Maybe next year he's a big NFL player. Cool. You think Ali Gay is making life-changing money on that deal? Hell no. But if he puts a little change in his pocket, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's the kind of thing that's been happening forever. Now we just get to talk about it. And oh, by the way, Nick Saban did it last week when he was in Texas and talked about his quarterback, who's yet to take a snap, approaching seven figures in endorsement deals. Miami's done it already as well. Remember that Miami booster who was on that podcast when he said this?
We're going to sponsor every kid on the team. There's 90 scholarship players on that team. We're going to sponsor every one of them in year one. $500 a month. It's $540,000. I'm hoping it gets a bunch of publicity. I hope a bunch of people say, that's a great idea. Let's jump on board that train. And let's see how many of them we get sponsored going forward. And every year, let's get every player on this team sponsored. And, you know, the kids that probably do better and play better and get, you know, higher recognition, they'll end up getting more money from different sponsors. But let's get every single kid something.
Let's get every kid something. By the way, you heard any more companies doing that exact same thing? The bottom line is, if you ain't using this to your advantage in recruiting, you're losing. So good on Ed Ogeron. Every time you have a mic in front of your face, lobby for it. Be measured in the way you approach it, because he's right. It's got to be a team first thing, but ain't nothing wrong with giving some kids a little scratch, a little pocket change, which is what kids are going to get in these NIL deals. Thought Ed was great today, man. Really, really good. Hopefully that's the, it's such a contradiction from what the vibe was like a year ago with this team. It's got, should have you feeling really optimistic as they get ready to set sail in 2021. Okay, aside from the NIL stuff, Ogeron did also talk about his team. We'll delve into some of that here in just a quick second. Brought to you by Rock Auto, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Save time, save money when you use Rock Auto. Why go to the chain store or the dealership and spend 30, 50, 100% more for the same parts? Like, for example, If you buy a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, it's $353 from a chain store. At Rock Auto, $216. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers online for more than 20 years. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. When you go to Rock Auto, you see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you to Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Continuing with some of what Ed Ogeron had to say at the Rotary Club meeting, he nailed it. He was loose. He was energetic. He was gregarious. He was absolutely at his best. It was a bit of a contrast from a week ago where he felt, I thought, uncomfortable at SEC media days. Today, he was awesome. Like, that's the guy who, when Ed Ogeron is that guy, he has a really good feeling about his team. That's not the Ed Ogeron we saw last year. The guy we saw today is not the Ed Ogeron we saw in 2017 when he knew pressure was building. That's the guy we saw when he was confident in his leadership in 2018. That's the guy we saw who knew they were going to dump truck everybody in 2019. Like, he was really good, really, really good today. That's encouraging when Ed has that feeling, because I'm telling you, that was not the case a year ago. And you've heard me say this, and I'm going to continue to hammer it. A lot of people didn't like it when I was saying it a lot last year. But you're starting to understand it now because everyone is acknowledging it. The culture last year was terrible, and it showed on the field. And it was in large part due to the coaches' inability to communicate with their players. And so you add this giant fracture between coaches and players and coaches and coaches, and it was bad. It was very bad. There's no other way to say it. It was as bad as I've ever seen at LSU. But today had a very different feeling. This whole offseason has had a very different feeling. But Ed Ogeron underscored it again. Like, if you're actually listening with that context to what he said, when he talked today at the Rotary Club about the process he went through to hire new coaches, listen to what he said about that process.
I wanted coaches that can communicate with our players. So I interviewed every one of them personally. And I just said, hey, I'm a football player. I'm an LSU football player. I didn't tell them that. And I'm going to ask them questions. And I want to see how they relate to me. And all six of these guys rated A+.
Can you play the very beginning of that again? Like, listen to how emphatic he is saying this.
I wanted coaches that can communicate with our players.
I wanted coaches that could communicate with our players. You know what they didn't have last year? Coaches that could communicate with the players. The thing that I will talk, let's hear what he said about quarterback today. A little different than what he said at media days last week. But this surprised. He played seven, please, Muse. This surprised me when he was talking about the offensive line. Give a listen.
I do believe that the offensive line is going to be our strength. Now we have to develop some depth. We got some young guys. Watch out for Garrett Dellinger. A young mid-year transfer from Michigan came with us in the spring. I think he can play guard or tackle. Time for Anthony Bradford, who's probably one of the most talented offensive linemen that we have. He's got to lose a little weight. He's in the best shape he's been in. He can play guard or tackle. Those two guys are the two guys that I'm expecting to get some playing time behind our experienced starting offensive line.
Dellinger and Bradford. Dellinger coming in, obviously, as a freshman. Bradford, the guy Ogeron was talking up a lot last year in the preseason, who we didn't really see that manifest, but maybe this could be his shot. There is a giant amount of pressure on Brad Davis, the new offensive line coach, because, listen, man, last week at Media Days, we had Austin Deculus sitting with us, and he said it. Like, they knew they weren't good last year, and they got improved. They objectively were not a good unit last year. And now the head coach is going into this season saying, we feel like that's the strength of the team, which would be an incredible transformation. But here was O on Brad Davis, the new offensive line coach.
This guy from Baton Rouge that kept on popping up. In fact, he was a pain in the behind in recruiting. He was at other schools. He was always trying to take guys from Baton Rouge. I said, you know what? If he's trying to take my guy, I'm going to go back and get him. And we had a chance. He was at Arkansas, one of the top offensive line coaches in the country, Brad Davis. So three outstanding offensive coaches.
It's going to be interesting to see what Brad Davis does with that unit. Like, listen, I am skeptical, okay? I'm skeptical about the offensive line. I need to see it. You know what I've said all offseason. Just because you have guys returning that weren't good a year ago doesn't mean you're automatically better. Now, I look at that line and I go, Deculus has played a ton of football. Ed Ingram, I think, has the potential with a giant season to race up draft boards. Like, I think he's kind of in the Trey Turner mold. I'm not saying he's going to be Trey Turner, but like, he's kind of that guy. He's that type of player. A giant question at left tackle now. Obviously, we hope Cam Wire can do the job. Chasen Hines is a bull, man. He's good enough to play as a freshman. Let's see if he can elevate his play this year. And then, you know, Liam Shanahan, after having a year in the SEC under his belt, if he can improve. But those are a lot of question marks. But man, if that offensive line is the strength of your team, that makes it so much easier for whoever is the quarterback, because then you could turn around, hand the ball off to whoever is the running back and be somewhat of a ground and pound team while your passing game develops with a young receiving core, young tight end group, and a quarterback that has started a max of 3 games, if it's Miles Brennan, or if it's Max Johnson, 2 games. Anyway, here was Ed Ogeron on the quarterback position going into camp.
I really believe we have 2 championship quarterbacks, 3 possibly, when Garrett gets a little old. Max Johnson and Miles Brennan. It's a toss-up. It's going to go all the way down to the wire, probably 1 week before we play UCLA. We're going to decide who is the starting quarterback. I told him it's competition in everything we do. The one thing I do like about Miles is when he came in last year, there was a lot of question marks about Miles. I thought he played great. I thought he did fantastic. He played good enough for us to win every one of those games. It wasn't his fault, okay? And then Max Johnson, as a freshman, Max wastes his turn. TJ goes in. Max gets his turn. And as a freshman, goes win in the swamp and goes beat Ole Miss. And there's only one quarterback. And I told him, guys, there's only one quarterback right now at LSU that's 2-0. His name is Mac Johnson. So let's see who's the best man. Whoever wins, we're going to be in great shape.
2 interesting things. One, he reiterated what he said last week, that we have 2 championship quarterbacks. And he also said that they'll make the decision 1 week before the UCLA game. Now, that is a variation from the past, where, you remember, back when Joe Burrow came in, they cut down reps a couple weeks into camp, and that's when you saw Justin McMillan and Lowell Narcisse transfer out, because ultimately they had to pick. They had to pare down the reps so your starter could get the reps. Now you look at this and you say, okay, are they going to take this with these 2 guys all the way up to game week? And it sounds there like that's what they're planning to do, which would be a variation from what they've done in the past. But it certainly does seem like it's going to be an open competition. The contrast to what he said a week ago was it'll be a competition unless they just know who the better player is, and then they'll just play that guy, which makes you go, are they leaning one way already? Jake Peets wants the RPO game as part of what he does. If that's the case, Max Johnson's your guy, because Max can run the RPO game. That's not really in Miles Brennan's DNA. But if you're going to go grade reps and see who does it better, let's see if the veteran guy can win the job and hold off the younger guy. Tigers will be on the practice field starting next week. Remember, the NBA draft is tonight. You want to wager on it, betonline.ag. Of course, college football season right around the bend as well. Futures bets, prop bets, it's all there at betonline.ag. Your online sportsbook experts, it is betonline.ag. Get to the mobile site, free to sign up, make your first deposit of funds, and when you do, use the code locked on, one word, locked on, and they will give you a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Again, betonline.ag, use the code locked on, one word, to get a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Wrapping up here on a Thursday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. If you've not done so yet, please subscribe to the Locked On LSU podcast. However you get your podcast, however you're listening to us here, just hit that subscribe button, rate us, leave a review. We would certainly appreciate it. NBA draft is tonight. Some updated mock drafts here on draft day. CBS Sports ranking Cam Thomas the 18th best player available. Variety of mock drafts have Cam Thomas going anywhere from 14 to Golden State, 17 to New Orleans, 20 to Atlanta, 26 to Denver. So we know sort of the range where Cameron Thomas is going to fall. For what it's worth, CBS Sports, their latest top 100, has Trendon Watford going 85 overall, or excuse me, as the 85th best prospect. There aren't 85 picks. And Javonte Smart at 91. So don't expect to hear Watford or Smart's name called. Those guys likely are going to sign undrafted free agent contracts after this season. Hopefully have an opportunity to go G League, maybe a two-way deal to get some run in the NBA. We've seen guys like Naz Reid and Antonio Blakeney here lately have that opportunity, and maybe that'll be the opportunity for Trendon and Javonte to make their way onto an NBA roster. They'll have to work for it, obviously, but something worth keeping an eye on here as we move through tonight. But good luck to Cam Thomas and all the guys hoping to hear their names called up at the Barclays Center. Will Wade is going to be with Cam there at the Barclays Center tonight as his first-round dreams are going to come true. And LSU will have another first-round draft pick to its credit in its basketball history. And we'll certainly recap it all tomorrow as we wrap up a busy week here on the Locked On LSU podcast. I got to remind you, though, of course, tonight is the draft. And here at the Locked On Podcast Network, we got the NBA draft GOAT, Chad Ford, a Locked On NBA draft host, Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host, John Corrales. They're going to be live covering the NBA draft. It's the Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick, followed by Locked On NBA and YouTube. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today, and make sure to watch the live coverage tonight at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern, there at the Locked On NBA YouTube channel. We'll recap it all tomorrow right here, Locked On LSU, your team every day.